Let us bow our heads for the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This morning's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. If you're going to follow us, I advise that you follow this and not the Bible in the pew, because this is yet a different translation. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, given to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and beautiful thanksgivings to God. This relief offering is a prod to live your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for this gift, his gift. No language can praise it enough. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you join me in prayer? Most holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for the many ways in which you give yourself to us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to pour out your Holy Spirit in this place and in this time. But Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word and your call to discipleship this day. Oh Lord, be with us now. Speak clearly, for your servants are listening. Amen. So this morning, I want you to begin by thinking about what is the best gift you have ever received. Maybe you need to think back to childhood. Did you get that number one wish you had on your Christmas list? Or maybe it's been more recently in your adult life and you finally got that one thing you had been longing for so long. What emotions did you feel in that moment? And how long did that joy and elation last you? Now I want us to turn our thoughts a little bit, and I'll ask you a more specific question. What is the best gift that you have ever received that was not necessarily something material? So maybe it was the gift of time, the gift of a relationship, the gift of an act of kindness, or maybe the gift of somebody making a sacrifice on your behalf. So for these kind of gifts, what emotions did you experience? And how long did those last you? Now, some of you may know that my family has gone through a somewhat trying time during the last 3 months. On March 1st, my husband was playing football with some students involved in his college ministry at Texas State, and he had a run-in with a set of stairs, and he lost, and he broke his ankle that day. Unfortunately, the fracture was on his right leg at the weight-bearing point of his tibia. So while we were grateful he didn't have to have surgery, we had to quickly adjust to a new normal for our family's life. For the first 4 weeks of his recovery, he wasn't allowed to put any weight on that right leg. And then for these last 8 weeks, he has gradually been adding weight and relearning how to walk without his crutches again. Now, this added quite a bit to my plate as I suddenly found myself as the only one that could drive in our family, the only one that could do chores, the only one that could care for our 2-year-old daughter. And meanwhile, I still needed to function as a pastor here, as well as adjust to all the changes happening in my body, both physically and emotionally, as I entered this third trimester of pregnancy. Now, during the last 3 months, I've learned something very sobering about myself. And I'm going to share that with you. Are you ready? I am not Superwoman. Gasp! I know, it's shocking. But I discovered that I just cannot do it all on my own, and I need the support of my community. You know, I tried to put on my brave face and pretend that I could handle it all by myself. But I quickly found myself overwhelmed and in tears most nights. And let me tell you, the pregnancy hormones did not help me handle this well. And as a good product of our American culture that praises independence, I just could not ask for help. It felt embarrassing to admit that I needed it, almost as if I was admitting some kind of failure. And there were countless people in our congregation that offered to help our family, but my pride got in the way, and I just could not say the words, yes, please come, please help, please clean, please cook, please drive, please fill in the blank. However, God knew that I was going to be stubborn, and therefore he appointed a few special people in our congregation to just bypass my very polite thanks but no thanks responses. In fact, God had them not even ask me if they could help. They just did it. So there were a few people that just showed up to the church with meals cooked and said, here, eat whenever you can. Others showed up at our house and mowed our lawn on various occasions. And then there were others who were actually absolutely clueless as to what was going on in my personal life, and they just so happened to stop by the office and brought me flowers from their gardens that they wanted to share with me. And they had no clue that these flowers and their aroma would serve as this sweet reminder of God's ever-abiding presence with me. Now, although it was difficult to receive these gifts of kindness, in the end, it was a huge blessing. And my response was exactly how Paul described a receiver's would be. So I want to read for you again, starting in verse 12 of our passage today. Paul describes saying, carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgivings to God. This relief is offering is a prod to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for this gift, his gift. No language can praise it enough. You see, once again, I found myself feeling overwhelmed and in tears. But this time it wasn't because of stress. This time it was because of blessings being poured out on me by others. Not only were my bare needs taken care of, but my heart was overflowing with thanksgiving and praise for these individuals, for the way God was working in and through them, for the body of Christ that we are as a community of faith, and how God's love flows from one person to the next. And it didn't stop there. As a recipient of this gift that keeps on giving, I now can't wait to pass the blessing on to somebody else. You see, Paul calls these gifts a prod that will encourage us to pass the blessing on to others. It's a prod for us to do our best to put our gratitude in action by giving generously to someone else. So I want to ask you that question again. What is the best gift you've ever received? How has it encouraged you to be generous to others? In other words, in what ways has God blessed you so that you can be a blessing to others? Our scripture passage today proclaims a bold truth. God doesn't just provide for our needs so that we can be satiated and live happily to ourselves. Rather, Paul says that God gives to us so that we're ready and equipped to give to others. So I want to read to you verses 8 to 11 again. Paul says here, God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Now here's where we find this great paradox. Paul, in these words, teaches us the very way that each one of us can find true happiness and fulfillment in each one of our lives. And guess what? It's not by accumulating the most toys in this life. It's not about having the highest salary, the biggest house, the newest car, the latest and greatest technological devices. Rather, in this passage, we're taught that if we want to enrich our lives, then we need to practice great generosity. If we want to receive abundant blessings in our lives, then we need to give abundantly to others. If we want to receive the most, then we have to be willing to give the most. And as we hear this bold truth proclaimed to us, we're simultaneously issued a transformative challenge. Can you be a cheerful giver? Will you trust that with God there is always enough? Instead of counting your pennies and making sure that your own needs are met, can you be like the psalmist that Paul quotes and throw caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon? Can you convince yourself that God has provided for you, not so you can be on the next episode of Hoarders, but so that you are actually equipped and prepared to give to someone else? If so, then you're ready to begin allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you into the disciple of Christ that God longs for you to be. One that is robust in God, generous in every way, and full of praise. Now, in order to be a cheerful giver, we need to work with the Holy Spirit and cultivate certain characteristics and attitudes within ourselves. First of all, we need to adopt this constant disposition of surrender, where we're ready to give all that we have at any time for God's purposes. You know, it's our natural tendency as humans to think that we either deserve everything we have because we have worked so hard to get here. Or on the flip side, we think, even though we have worked really hard, we still don't have enough. And for some reason, we've gotten the short end of the stick in life. And this mode of thinking is dangerous because it causes us to become stingy. It turns us into toddlers. I live with one, I can tell you. She screams, "Mine!" over her possessions when she doesn't want to share. Or she screams out, "More!" when she thinks she doesn't have enough for herself, much less enough to share with someone else. However, if we change our mindset and we begin to look at all that we have as undeserved, unmerited, surprising blessings from God, then we're more apt to see God at work in our lives and see the way that God has opened doors for us in our lives. And we quickly begin to understand that none of this stuff actually belongs to us in the first place. As a result, we'll be more ready to let go and pass that blessing on to someone else rather than being possessive over it. Now, secondly, when we give, we can't do it reluctantly or under compulsion. Rather, we must give freely with no strings attached and with joy. In other words, let your gift truly be a gift. Each one of us is the recipient of God's love and forgiveness, and there is absolutely nothing that each one of us has done to deserve that. Yet God continues to give it to us freely and abundantly. Therefore, we must do the same in our own lives for others. And thirdly, we have to be ready for anything and everything. The scripture tells us that we have been blessed to be a blessing. This means that God is going to intentionally place opportunities right before us for we to pass on this gift of generosity onto others. So it's our job to open our eyes, to pray for God to reveal these opportunities to us so that we can answer the call to faithful discipleship. So with that in mind, the evangelism committee of our church would like to challenge each one of you today to be a cheerful giver this summer. and bless our community right here in New Braunfels through acts of kindness. We encourage each one of you to find one or two ways that you can bless somebody else. Your gifts may or may not actually involve money. But we hope that you will have a generous spirit in whatever it is that you do. So here are just a few examples. I know a lot of you go to Schlitterbahn over the summer. Looking at you. Yeah, okay. There are many of you that go to Schlitterbahn. So what if you went up to a stranger and offered to take their tube back to the area for them? Something just as simple as that. We've got lots of snow cone places around town. Why don't you buy somebody else a snow cone as the heat rises? Perhaps you could offer to mow your neighbor's lawn or clean their house for them one day. Would you want to have a lemonade stand or sell baked goods in order to raise funds for the people that have been affected by tornadoes this last week? Could you give the gift of your time by visiting somebody who is lonely or by offering to babysit for a young couple who's about to have another baby so they can have a date? Just kidding. Don't come to me. Reach out to others. Could you find an organization to volunteer your time for? Whether it's just a one-time thing or whether you decide you want to do that on a regular basis. What is God calling you to do? Could you save a life by going to the blood bank and donating some blood? Could you give one of our nursing homes a call and see if they need help with anything over the summer? You know, they're usually inundated with offers to help during the Christmas season, but not so much right now. If you have a birthday coming up, would you be willing to ask your family and friends to make a donation to your favorite charity in your honor rather than receiving gifts from them? If you see somebody new in worship, would you be willing to offer to take them out to lunch and begin building a relationship with them? What if you chose somebody to actually hand write a note to? Whether it be a note of thanks for something they've done in your life or a note of encouragement if they're going through a difficult time. You could stock up on $5 gift cards to various fast food restaurants and then hand those out to the homeless you see on the streets and not have to worry about what they're going to do with that money. Now, these are just a few ideas, but the possibilities are endless. We've made up cards for you to leave with those who receive your gift. And on one side it says, "Blessed to be a blessing." And on the other side it says, "Please receive this gift from a cheerful giver at First United Methodist Church." So I hope all of you will pick these up as you leave the sanctuary today. And begin to brainstorm with God about what it is you can do to bless someone else. How can you pass on that gift that keeps on giving? The gift that has the potential to help somebody else see that God is working in their lives. The gift that stirs up abundant thanksgivings to God. The gift that could possibly help somebody else become robust for God. You know, each week it is our prayer as the pastors that our worship doesn't end when we leave these doors. Rather, we pray that we come to this place to have our spirits enlivened, our souls refreshed, and our bodies overflowing with the grace of God, so that we can leave this place ready ready to be the church, ready to continue our worship of God through our everyday actions, ready to serve and love God's people who haven't yet found their way into these doors yet. So today you have been given a charge. You have been blessed to be a blessing. Go and pass on that gift that keeps on giving. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.